Dave and Darren on Planet 93.9. It's Real Alternative Radio Thursday morning. You know what that means. Time to get caught up on the world of movies with our very own Mike Schultz from the River Cities Reader. Yes, he's here live in studio.
I've got a question for Mike. It's not movie related, I don't think. But being that we won't see him till after Halloween, I was going to ask, what was your favorite Halloween costume growing up as a kid for trick-or-treat? And what is the worst costume you've ever worn?
Okay. My mom made me turned me into a grandfather clock one year.
Ooh!
Which is really cool.
That's pretty dope.
That is something
else. It was dope. And especially since I was a short kid. And so it felt like, aha, I'm tall. For one night a year.
Okay, so that's your favorite.
That was a good one. Yeah, I remember it had like a paper plate as the face, and
that's interesting.
It was good. It was a good one. As far as the bad ones, the one that was the most uncomfortable was I was dressed up as a pack of bubblegum chewing gum.
It sounds to me like uncomfortable than that.
It wasn't because it at least lets you. It was less boxy. It was like tall and you got to move your arms around and stuff. And the bubblegum thing, while it looked cool, because it was my favorite gum as a child, was like a squat package of gum. And you couldn't really move around at all. And so I remember it made walking kind of difficult. I still thought it was cool. I didn't have any really crummy.
Did you make reference to the fact that there were spider eggs in your gum?
I was not that wise. No, not that smart.
What are you referring to?
That was the story that there were spider eggs in bubble yum.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad
I didn't know that as a kid.
Oh, it was just. Oof. It's just what they said.
You only saw one movie.
I did.
And
it was long.
And
it felt like two movies.
Your takeaway was. It was longer than it needed to be, huh?
It was, what I wrote is it's either twice as long or it needed to be three times longer as a miniseries because it's Killers of the Flower Moon, of course. It's
Martin Scorsese's movie,
about the murder of the Osage Nation in the 20s because they're living on all this oil that we want. And it's a fascinating story, and it goes deeply into depth on the story and how they got because we got their oil by marrying Native American women and then killing them.
Is it brutal?
And killing their families.
Yeah, because the problem is they have the Osage is like the richest. They're the richest people on planet Earth because they have so much oil.
Yeah.
And the problem, the plan is, okay, white men will go in there and marry into the family. Uh-huh. But the problem is if you marry in. You got to make sure that there's nobody left in the family in order to get that money.
Yeah.
So if they have any relatives or if you have any children, they're going to be going for you to get the money.
You got to get rid of everybody. And this happened systematically for years and years and years. And so, I mean, it's a horrible story. And Martin Scorsese, as he does, treats it with the gravity it deserves. It is not like a Goodfellas movie. I mean, it is brutal to answer your question. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so sad. I think that's what makes it feel longer than most. Because it's 5 minutes shorter than The Irishman, which I know you, Dave, think is endless. But that one zipped along for me, mostly because its moral stakes were less weighty. It was like, oh, it's a gangster movie. Let's watch more people get shot in the head. Why not? You know, this you don't want to see anyone get killed, please.
Yeah.
The other reason it feels longer than anything is that Leo DiCaprio, God love him, but he is playing he's a guy who marries into the Native Americans, and De Niro is like the boss of the town, and he's getting Leo to like systematically kill his wife through poison because she's a diabetic. And so he's kind of lacing the insulin with poison, slowly, slowly killing her after her sisters have been shot and her parents have been killed. And her, you know, it's so horrible. But he is such a dope and designed as a dope. It's not Leo who's the idiot.
Yeah.
But he's this guy who just comes back from World War I and he's like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And De Niro's like, well, how about you marry this woman and then we'll do some business.
Turn you into an oil baron.
Like, yeah. And he's like, well, okay. And he spends like 3.5 hours with no moral fiber at all. And he doesn't change and he doesn't learn anything. he feels a little bit guilty here and there that I did this, I'm doing this terrible thing, but he still carries out the executions that De Niro wants him to. And so it has a really empty lead who is incapable of insider change. And
it also
so
sounded
it feels
like
it goes on for a while.
Reading your review that one of your issues is that Leonardo DiCaprio is great, and obviously he's worked with Martin Scorsese a ton, but this role seems like it should be played by somebody who's much younger.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to be early 20s. Leo's 48.
Right.
I mean, he still looks young enough. I mean, I wasn't distracted the whole time. And like I mentioned, I'm glad they didn't do the de-aging thing that they did to De Niro and Pesci in Irishman. But he like carries too much weight. It's like the character himself knows the story, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's a terrible telegrapher as an actor. I mean, and we talked about this, I think, last week. He never stops letting you know that he knows what kind of jerk he's playing. He always separates himself from the character in ways that you can feel, where it's like, you're not into it. The opposite of like what a Daniel Day-Lewis does, where it's just like, you're clearly that dude.
Yeah.
Never feel that with DiCaprio. And that's a problem for this particular movie. It's brilliantly, beautifully done and lovely, and it ends in a way that shook me. That was so, so strong. But that's where I'm at. I liked it. I wish I loved it.
Is it Lily Gladstone?
Yeah, she's good.
She's going to be at least nominated, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She'll be the first Native American actress ever nominated. 95 years.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Took a while.
Not the first one to accept an award.
No, very true.
Does it feel longer because the subject matter, like if you're watching The Irishman, right? If you're watching a Scorsese movie that's about organized crime, you don't have an attachment to that.
Right.
But as a white guy in America, when you watch this, you feel like, oh boy.
Yeah, absolutely you do. It's the same experience as watching, say, 12 Years a Slave. It's really not that different in terms of how it's designed to make everybody feel. I mean, white people especially, for obvious reasons, but it's sickening subject matter. And the fact that they can make these movies still entertaining enough where you don't want to kill yourself by the end of it.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, because 12 Years a Slave is really well done and watchable in a way.
Yeah, because, at the end of the day, you got to make it watchable.
Yeah, because Steve McQueen is good at his job and knows what he's telling people. And he's like, okay, so we got to give you something. And Marty does that as well. You know, he comes through with incredible action scenes, and it's horrific, but you want to watch. Yeah, I don't know how these filmmakers do it. That's
so
crazy to me.
I guess I don't understand. It's worth seeing. It's a
movie. It is. I think it's good. I think it's at times great. It's just that you feel every minute of it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that was the first sentence of my review. I mean, because it doesn't matter how long a movie is, just how long it feels. That thing felt endless to me, you know. I will probably watch it again. Maybe once, you know, it's one of those, as opposed to, I'll watch Irishman again, you know, again and again.
Well, we were talking about this before you showed up. We were talking about this last hour. This movie's 3.5 hours long. Does it have an intermission?
It does not.
When are they going to bring those back?
I don't know. I like those.
Aren't those great?
Yeah, those are kind of good for really long movies.
Go to the bathroom. Go burn a heater in the parking lot.
When's the last time they even did that?
I saw there was a Gettysburg movie that it was kind of low budgety, but it opened here like 2006 or 7, maybe. That was probably 4 hours, and they did have an intermission. Mm. And I think they had one when Kenneth Branagh did Hamlet, which was 2 hours, which also makes sense because it's a play.
You know,
so you might as well have an intermission. But yeah, for really long ones, yeah, it's hard because it's hard to know when to use the restroom.
You play the overture. The thing, too, is, look, man, movie houses make their money on concessions.
Yeah.
Get people out of theater to go buy a popcorn and a drink.
Get them out in the lobby one extra time.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I don't think the Taylor Swift movie did that, but it seems like that would have been a smart thing to do. Let everyone like hang out for 15 minutes and talk about the experience so far and go buy some more drinks.
If your movie's more than 2.5 hours,
you
should have an intermission.
I won't fight on that.
The argument against that is, well, you want to have more, then you don't have as many show times.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But
it would, by the same token, right. I mean,
you're not talking about an intermission that's forever.
Sure. Right. If you're talking an intermission for a 2.5 hour movie, that's still 45 minutes shorter than Killers of the Flower Moon.
But that's one, you know, that's one showing of the movie that we don't have. Do they make up?
I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, Flower Moon did great. What, 23 million or something? Okay. Considering that it only could show 3 times a day as opposed to 5. So, yeah, it depends on the movie too, I guess.
Before we move on to the new movies that are coming out this week, who writes the headlines for your reviews? That's something that you do from time to time?
That would be me.
I don't know that you've ever written a better headline than
oh, no.
Bubble, Bubble, Oil, and Trouble.
Thank you.
For Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay, well, that's
real. I mean, that's, Mike, that's exceptional.
I appreciate that.
Is there
that.
A place we can submit this for some sort of headline award?
Wouldn't that be great?
That headline made me so happy.
I'm so glad because it was a second choice.
Yeah? What was the first one?
I had used it already, and that's a problem, too, after having done this for, 25 years. It's like, oh, shoot. I got to find another funny one for a horrible movie about about systematic murder in the 20s. My first one was Native American Horror Story. Which I liked. And then I realized I'd used it already. But thank you. I appreciate that. I was proud of that.
It's better than my headline, which would have been...
He's at it again. Do you have one you need to tell me off air?
One teepee plus another teepee makes me too tense.
Oh,
that would have been bad. See, that would have been...
That would have been bad because you have to think about that, too. You have to think about, okay, well, what is the tone of this movie? And Bubble, you can't go too snarky.
Bubble, Bubble, Oil, and Trouble's outstanding.
I appreciate that.
You're not. Thanks, I don't think you're going to write a better headline this year.
I thank you.
What's opening nice this week? We got Five Nights at Freddy's.
We do, yeah.
Do you know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's?
Believe it or not, I know tons about it because my young friend who goes with me to every G-rated movie, she loves that book series. I mean, I know it's based on video games, and she loves watching those too. She hasn't played them, I don't think, but she watches clips of other people playing them. But it's also a huge book series, and she's been reading them since she was like 6. She's got Freddy's posters in her room. She knows all the characters. There's one poster that's like 100 different Freddy's characters.
Oh, wow.
And we play a game where it's like, I point at one, like way in the background. It's like, what's this one? Oh, that's so-and-so, and he knows how to do this. And I mean, it's like me with dinosaurs when I was her age.
Five Nights at Freddy's. This is PG-13. I will tell you that it's not only at the Cineplex, but it's also available on Peacock.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
A troubled security guard begins working at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. During his first night on the job, he realizes that the night shift won't be easy to get through. Pretty soon, he will unveil what actually happened at Freddy's. The concept is, Darren, imagine you go to Showbiz Pizza,
yes.
Where they have like the, or Chuck E. Cheese, where they have the robots.
And they're murderous?
At night, they murder people. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Well.
That's the premise.
How's the pizza?
Yeah.
I don't know how the pizza is.
Because really, if it's hot, Showbiz Pizza, it's not bad. Or,
Chuck E. Cheese pizza is great.
Yeah, it's good.
Terrific. I'm glad they're selling it at the store now. You can buy it.
I haven't had that.
Oh, I'm going to try it. Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think all the popcorn you've eaten has destroyed your taste buds. If you think Chuck E. Cheese is great.
That's good pizza.
It's good when it's out of the oven.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it, you snob.
So that's the Five Nights at Freddy's is happening. And that's, I mean, look, at least it's something different. It's a franchise. But it's the first movie of the franchise,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I say bring it on. It looks suitably creepy. I have watched some of those videos with my friend, and that game is scary.
Yeah.
The game is plenty scary.
Yeah.
So far, I mean, I hear it's probably not going to be great. I don't expect great. Make it entertaining for me.
It's been around forever because...
Yeah, right?
Like 10 years ago, my kid wanted to play that game on the phone, and then when I looked at it, I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm going to play this game.
Right.
Don't forget to play Angry Birds.
Are we also getting Inspector Sun?
We are not, but Iowa City is. I don't think we're going to get that one at all. This is an interesting time because the Taylor Swift movie is only on Thursday through Sundays.
Okay.
And so theaters are having to find other things to play during the week.
Interesting.
And that's one that Iowa City is doing, but we aren't.
Are we getting Freelance?
We're getting Freelance.
Okay.
Please talk about Freelance.
Oh, no.
What is this about?
It looks bad.
Freelance. An ex-Special Forces operative takes a job to provide security for a journalist as she interviews a dictator. But a military coup breaks out in the middle of the interview, and they're forced to escape into the jungle where they must survive.
It's Romancing the Stone. It's The Lost City. It's that again. It's John Cena. Who's who you'd get if you can't get Channing Tatum? and Alison Brie, who I really like. And
yes!
I think everyone does. She's great.
We had her on the show. She's wonderful.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh, lucky you.
Doesn't she share a birthday with me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like how you...
She's great. She's terrific. So that will make it more
Listen,
bearable, I think.
I really like John Cena as an actor.
I don't mind him. I like him in comedy just fine.
Yeah. He's great in comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Is this a comedy a little bit?
It is. It's an action comedy adventure type thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Did you see Peacemaker?
No, that's on my list.
Okay. I made it through about half of it. It got too long for me. But
the thing with Peacemaker is, though, it's a superhero and it's a DC superhero.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I can't. I've heard rave reviews.
I mean, I enjoyed what I watched, but I also quit after 4 episodes. I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I saw an ad for the new Aquaman.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, my God. God, does that look horrible.
Yeah, they're not even trying.
Right?
And what's the point? Because Momoa's gone from that role after this movie, right? Because they're reshaping the DC universe.
Yeah.
I don't think he's around anymore.
The commercial I saw looks so bad.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would even feel good.
I loved how they made a big deal about the return of this. I mean, they make a big splashy deal about the return of this villain that you forgot about. You know, and it's like, oh, Patrick Wilson, right. You know? He's not scary at all. Was he a brother-in-law or something? Or the brother? You even remember that Patrick Wilson is in it? Because I did not until I saw the preview. I was like, oh, right, Patrick Wilson. Boy, he's bland.
This is what I remember, because I didn't see it till it was out on video. And when the original Aquaman came out, I thought, well, that was okay.
All right.
I mean, Jason Momoa was
fun. Yeah, he's fun.
But I didn't think, like, oh, man, I'm really invested in
this.
I forgot every detail of the movie until... Was Nicole Kidman his mom for like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
She's back too.
Is she?
Can you believe it?
Okay. Well,
she doesn't say don't do a lot.
You don't have, to worry about Aquaman this week. So
Freelance and
Five Nights at Freddy's.
And then I'm going to go to Iowa City to film scene because they're opening Anatomy of a Fall, which is the movie that won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, who's doing that?
Well, they're playing it at Film Scene, but it's about a woman who maybe or maybe not pushed her husband out a window and killed him. But it's a big courtroom procedural. Like,
did he jump or was she pushed?
Yeah, it's one of those. Those are juicy and fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out what you think of those movies when we chat next week and on the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com. He's Mike Schultz. He is the editor and movie critic there at the River Cities Reader. And he joins us here on Thursdays. Mike, thanks for popping by.
Thank you.